Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Well, Andy, if we had the ability to stream and pay the rights temporarily for the song War Is Over, that is essentially the feeling that we all have now. This season is concluded. AS Roma 2023-2024 is in the history books, and I could think of no more appropriate way for the season to end than what we have seen over the previous, including today, by the way, including today, with Eusebio Di Francesco going from... Only somebody even slightly connected to Roma would be capable of something so depraved, so sickening, so heart-wrenching, that it has to be reality, because in fiction, they would not be able to make this up. But before getting into all of that, patrons, thank you, thank you, thank you for your support, for your reminders that my mental health might not be so bad at times.
Yes.
Thank you for the chaos.
A great reminder that not enough mental hospitals are open throughout the world. You know, it's not exactly a booming business. I think there needs to be a lot more mental hospitals open around the world, because this is just, it's not enough for Roma fans, especially. It's not enough after what we witnessed tonight. And I may imagine Eusebio Di Francesco actually signing up to one of those, to a mental hospital after tonight. I know that his son Federico will drive him straight into a mental hospital, because tonight I just caught a glimpse of his face. He didn't even have the smile. You remember the Cagliari smile? He didn't even have that one.
Smirk, yes.
So the smirk was gone tonight. There was no smirk. And when there is no smirk on Eusebio Di Francesco's face when things go wrong, it means that things have gone south, extremely south. So I don't know what is more Romanista than to be relegated on some bullshit goal that Empoli score in a game against the Roma team. Mind you, before the match, Eusebio Di Francesco was asked if he had made a plea for help to De Rossi. And Di Francesco said, no, I don't need to do it. I know that Roma will fight.
To Torino.
I don't need to do it. I know Roma will fight, you know. And tonight, I think we saw anything but Roma fighting. I mean, De Rossi can say anything he wants, but the team was clearly on vacation mode. I was feeling them. I didn't blame them. I was like, sure. You know, I mean, come on. It's the end of May. You're going to Tuscany. Beautiful country, you know, you got wine, you got everything, you got castles, you got Arezzo, Firenze, Siena, you know, it's beautiful. It's the days are starting to get warmer, the evenings are starting to get nicer. What are you going to do? Are you going to work your ass off for a game that is meaningless at this point? No, you know, you go into cruise control and you sail your way into vacation, and then some will go to Copa America, others will go to the Euros, some others will just chill. And I can totally understand them. It's a terrible sight for our sore eyes, but it's the way it is.
That is the way it is. Before we go further, though, that was our easy transition into thanking our patrons. If you would like to join in the summer, and the madness doesn't die down, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your mindset, because of obviously the market. That's when things really, that's truly the measure of depravity as to how much you allow a transfer market rumor to affect you. If you would like to join, though, and test out your mental fortitude, patreon.com/RomaPress and at AS Roma Press on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all the social medias. If you could take a moment to like and subscribe just right now, do it for us, just because a couple of subscribes, it allows us to, you know, make us feel like we're not in this rubber room just yelling into a void. we would greatly appreciate it.
But I think you are. Again, if you, I'm looking
yeah, well,
at your background.
I kind of am. Yeah.
You are. So, yes. Patreon.com/RumaPress, folks. If you want to end up like John Solano, it's patreon.com/RumaPress. You can get your plan. You can select, I want to be like John Solano. And we include one of those rubber rooms where you can just scream into eternity without anybody hearing you.
Yeah, if anybody wants to peel back the curtain, I'm either recording in a closet like I am now, or when I was in Asiago, a kitchen pantry, which was 3 feet by 5 feet. So either way, I am stuck in this jail cell, physically or even mentally.
Mentally. I think, yeah, you're a wonderful representation of the average mental health of Roma fans.
True. So there was no more appropriate, more fitting way for the season of AS Roma to conclude. Now, I did a post-match reaction immediately after Atalanta won the Europa League. I knew, by the way, that there was no intention that they would finish fifth. Whether that was Giampiero Gasparini telling his side, listen, AS Roma, I hate them. Or at minimum, AS Roma, they have this absolute asshole. These two assholes, but one in particular who despises Bergamo. Whatever we need to do to stick it to him, we need to do it. Whether that was said or just understood between the group, first off, Andy, before getting into actual the places in the table, witnessing Giampiero Gasparini win a Europa League trophy, a European trophy, break this the long streak of Bayer Leverkusen, whilst wearing jeans, not trainers, not a nice suit, jeans. Fucking jeans. I honestly have to say, I don't know if I have ever seen anybody wear jeans on the bench, never mind a European final.
Which he won.
He wore.
It's not like he lost and he went to the locker room. He won and he stood and lifted the trophy.
One-handedly. The guy, he didn't even need, they didn't even do the extra shot of the Bangs Ball juice at halftime.
Nothing.
He did it whilst wearing jeans.
Yeah.
The only thing missing was my photo of him with a photo of him, like with his foot just stepping upon my corpse with my face plastered on it.
Are you what?
Do
you mean
understand
the...
this sight that there are things that live so vividly in my mind? Just these very obscure moments with Roma, very obscure moments. For instance, I don't know why, but Adriano being presented, the presentation of him holding up the shirt is shit that image comes into my mind at the most inappropriate, random times, okay? Watching Gasparini walk up and put his hands on that trophy whilst wearing jeans. I can't get over that. I cannot get over that. Now, as we all know, the guy doesn't wear suits too often. Usually he goes the trainer route, which I am fine with. Or sometimes he'll do the sweater with the nice pants. I'm fine with that too. You don't wear jeans, man. You don't wear jeans to a European final. I was so sickened by that. That is going to stick with me when I'm 85. If I somehow even make it to that,
I don't think so.
That image is going to. I can't believe that. So just the fact the guy had the balls to wear jeans on the sidelines of the final, I actually said before kickoff, I said in the group chat, they're winning.
Yeah,
they're winning this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're winning this. Yeah. And they, of course, the rest is history. They go out and they dominate. Man, that's the other thing too. Not only do they win, they
They dominate. You know that Ademola Lookman never went double digit in his career.
Correct.
And so now, you know, this whole talk about this guy being, you know, the new sliced Wonder Bread.
This is also true. Yeah, well, on top of it too, man, some of the commentary, because it wasn't on the usual, I mean, I wasn't treated to the usual helping of Sky Sport, DAZN, where you can at least roll your eyes because you're used to the figures who are coming off the screen, whose voices you hear talking the usual nonsense. I had to watch some guys say, I'm so happy for Gasparini. He's always been one of the more beloved figures in Italian football, I think somebody said, or one of the nice guys.
Oh yeah.
What are we talking about? I heard that.
Beloved figure.
Good
Christ.
I don't know what the warning signs of a brain aneurysm are.
That is definitely something.
That had to have been the closest I've ever been.
That has to be a symptom. When you find yourself, if you find yourself nodding in the street, agreeing with the statement that Gasparini is one of the most beloved figures in calcio, could it have been James Horncastle, who also in his wonderful, you know, it went viral on Twitter, his beautifully insightful take on Atalanta and how wonderful of a team they are. He may have been also the one to give this image of Gasparini. This is the same Gasparini who 2 weeks ago was like, the game against Fiorentina got postponed because a real tragedy happened, not a code yellow, in reference to Roma's scare against Udinese when Evan Dica went down. So this guy is just the lowest of the low. This guy, after winning the cup against Bayer Leverkusen, went on national television, and when he was asked about Napoli, he said, it's like I'm with my wife, but I got approached by a beautiful woman. You know, as in, yes, I love Atalanta, but Napoli have approached me and I'm so tempted. Like, what kind of, you know, and this guy has a family. What are you talking about? What are we saying? So he says one thing that is correct, and then he says 10 million other things that make him.
He was baiting me with that phrase, by the way. That exact phrase was a total complete bait to me.
Yeah, yeah.
As to how unhinged I could come on here and sound.
Yeah, yeah. So I, you know, worst for me is always, I will never be able to root for anybody that is not Roma in a competition. Atalanta, it happened. No. They won, as always. What happens with Roma? Roma don't get Champions League football. So everybody that was there cheering on, you know, our WhatsApp group going crazy, everybody tuning in and saying how wonderful Ademola Lookman is playing and how great Gianluca Scamacca is and this and that, you can all go and blow a fat one, you know, like that's where it ends. This is the nice intentions. Yeah. This is the payoff. Roma are out of Champions League football, obviously, you know, it's they didn't work hard enough to get it. Fine. But it's classic.
They didn't deserve it. Let's start there, classic. Man. They Roma don't deserve
never,
it.
Come no, on, Roma man. Never deserved yeah. it. That's, you know, this may have been also a big discussion point in our Patreon WhatsApp group. Do you deserve it? Do you not? Roma have done wonders in Europe. That's something that is commendable. Despite various circumstances going against them this season, it's been plenty of ups and downs that have gotten the way of continuity, consistency. But what Roma have done in Serie A has not been enough this year. Too many times they've lacked focus. And you pay. And you pay to teams like Atalanta, like Bologna, who have maintained that level of focus that you did not have. It's a shame that Juve are up there. Because Juve, if there is a team in Italy that I think has done worse than Roma in terms of expectations, it's Juve. Because we have to remember, Juve had one game per week. If you go back and watch the results that Juve collected over the last 5 months, you might commit harakiri in thinking that horrible. This team actually finished above you. If there is a team that did worse than Roma, given the expectations, it's Juve. Unfortunately, again, Roma, it's out of their hands. They always, and when things were in their hands, when they could turn things around, it was never enough. I think tonight's the final match against Empoli. Listen, it's vacation time, okay? It is that. It's just that simple. I've seen this so many times. I remember even so games that we won where you could tell, okay, they don't care. Like, I think I remember a match against Juve near the end of the season. I remember the game against Parma on De Rossi's last day. So many times where the team just, okay, you know, you cruise by. This is a game that doesn't matter at this point. And it's a shame that we've always seemed to drive ourselves to this point where the last game of the season doesn't matter at all. Because usually the table has been set for you and not in your advantage.
Absolutely. I can sit here and curse Gasparini, Atalanta, Bergamo until I'm blue in the face. Ultimately, I look at this Juve, even Bologna, man. It's a nice story. Cool. Great. But if we can step back and just take a look at the actual landscape of this, I think it is absolutely fair to say, and this is no hyperbole whatsoever, can we just say it is beyond pathetic that Roma cannot qualify for this Champions League? And by the way, not being able to qualify with an extra Champions League place. If you had said to us before this season, before that first match against Salernitana, bet whatever amount you feel appropriate, Roma finish, not top four, top five, and finally break this absence from the Champions League, you would have put, I'd say most people reasonably, would have put a fairly healthy amount at, oh, are you kidding me? Absolutely. Absolutely. No questions asked. And that's even accounting for knowing there's already a strong Inter, strong Milan, strong Napoli, or what we thought would be a strong Napoli, and the Juve having to play only once per week. I still think people would have taken that without hesitation. And to be here now, looking back on it and taking the emotion out of it and stepping back and saying, wow, this Juve was shit. Bologna are shit, okay? I don't care if they had one good season. This Champions League thing for them, maybe they sold their soul for it. I would not be surprised if they are battling relegation next season. I would not even be slightly surprised because they are going to be stretched so thin. Watching all of this happen, watching this Juve be so I can't think the last time where I watched a full Juve match and was even remotely impressed by the football they were playing. Since February, they have been a non-entity whatsoever. A non-entity. They were absent for the entire second half of the season. And still, you have a Roma who can't beat them at the Olimpico. And still, you have Roma losing to this Bologna at the Olimpico. And still, you just have a Roma unable at any point to take advantage of any sort of even slightest advantage given to you by any of the opponents in the running for the top these top five places. I want to know if you saw this, but I came across an article of Roma and their record against the teams that finish ahead of them over these past six seasons. Have you seen this? Or did you come across it, perhaps? Okay.
Well, tell me.
I would have saved it. It was essentially for the teams that finished ahead of Roma. I will have to double check this because I'm writing something sort of similar to it. Of the teams that finished ahead of Roma in the table over the previous six seasons, the teams that finished ahead of Roma in the table, Roma have only six wins against them. And I think it is something 50, 60, something, some obscene number of matches. All you need to know is six wins. essentially that comes down to one per season. That to me, when we talk about, because I've always come on here and I have said this thing time and time again, that it is not about winning against Juve or Milan. It is about how you do against the Provinciali, the smaller sides, which there is truth to that, I would say. But that lends itself to the fact that you don't lose every single game against Juve, Milan, Inter, Atalanta. I saw that statistic and I almost had a brain aneurysm. Even, okay, that's fine. You have a shit record of the teams that finish ahead of you. You know what that means? That means you can't lose 4-1 in Liguria. That means you can't draw at home to Salernitana. That means you can't lose in fucking Verona. I mean, it's all of these things. There is so much to this. So when I step back and I look at the season, I think to myself, man, there are moments where this team, like, where, you know, they go to San Siro, they make you feel good and they make you, or they give you the illusion that there really is something there. But when I step back and I just think of the full landscape and the entirety of the situation, and I try to remove some emotion from it. I mean, can we say it is embarrassing? I mean, for them not to qualify for this season, man, I mean, it is, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's embarrassing. And it really sullies any sort of positive feelings I might have about them moving forward.
Well, you know, this we obviously, as I said before, we our expectations were different. How I think the season evolved also speaks to exactly the fact that you get an extra Champions League spot by your merit, mind you, by your merit, because you get the extra Champions League spot thanks to you. What's more, the most Roma thing in the world than not to qualify when you are the team that helps Serie A expand the number of places for qualification to the Champions League than to not qualify? I mean, that's the most Roma thing in the world. We set out with different expectations. We set out with the hope of seeing Budapest become sort of a positive force. Instead, it became like this, almost like this curse that we could not get rid of. It marked the entire first half of the season. And then the second half consisted of an initial phase of picking things up, trying to get back into the swing of things and actually getting pretty good results along the way. But then, obviously, you can't hide the dust beneath the rug for too long. You know, things start to come out. The flaws start to come out. The lack of determination, the lack of hunger in certain instances. It just has to come out at some point, because if not, then it would have been really a miracle what De Rossi might have achieved had he managed to keep the team glued together. Unfortunately, it didn't. The team fell apart here and there. Ultimately, we were too slow. We were not. The whole difference is in those games against teams like exactly Bologna, like Atalanta, where you see that it means so much more to them, even though in theory it should mean just as much to you as to them, because theoretically you're fighting for the same objectives. But when you faced Bologna at the Olimpico, the way they completely tore you apart, or when you faced Atalanta and they just were cruising on a whole different level, you understood that you don't belong to the same reality. As in, yes, the expectations might have been different at the start of the year, but it's not theory that gets results. It's the actual practice. It's what you put out onto the pitch. It's the work that you do in training and in the stadium on the pitch. You can't just be the favorites. I hate that when they say, the favorites and this, the favorite, the favorites. Well, Napoli should have been the favorites. Napoli are not going to play in Europe next year, okay? After winning the Scudetto by what? And winning it by what? By over 20 points or whatever it was, being one of the best-looking sides in all of Europe, they're not going to play in Europe next season. They're 10th, okay? So that's what it comes down to, because the theory was, okay, yeah, well, they're favorites. And the reality said otherwise. So that applies to Roma as well. That has applied to Roma for the past five, 5 years that we've missed out on Champions League football. 5 years, John. We're here for the fifth consecutive year. We're here and we're saying the team will play in Europa League next year. We're thankfully, perhaps thankfully, because maybe it's good to sort of have a reality check where you can say openly, this is on the team. You don't have external factors to blame it on. Mm. You don't have others to say, well, the others, you know, this situation, we got unlucky. Because I think Budapest was, that's why it was a curse, because it was an excuse. Budapest, instead of being used as a positive source of energy, of guys, look how far we got. Let's see how far we can get again this year. It was, oh, well, we were wronged. And we were wronged, and it was unjust, and everything that followed Budapest was this sort of perverse display of a team that was trying to, that would strut on the pitch thinking they're better than their opponent, even though deep down there was nothing that could back it up. There was no such thing that could back up that kind of confidence. And teams like Bologna, like Atalanta, who are humble by nature, completely overtook you in the race for Champions League, and rightfully so. You just didn't have it in you from the first day. I don't think any one of us, with the minor exception of a brief period of time when De Rossi just patched things together, felt confident that this team could actually set out to achieve the results it did. I think from the first day against Salernitana, when we sort of understood that, this is, you know, it's not going great. It never was going to.
I couldn't agree more. The warning signs were there, really. We should have had a much clearer understanding that losing that final, particularly in the manner they did, boy, did that seem like a bookmark in the history that this is going to be different now. I suppose now we are left at the point of, okay, we understand the situation, Europa League again, not Champions League. We know the financial situation of Roma. We know it is not ideal, along with, or maybe it is better than that of Inter, because to see a club president being unsure as to whether or not his club has been acquired by the company that lent to him a very large sum of money, to see this weird battle in the media is very bizarre. But anyway, as an aside, it's a very particular summer now. And I know if we go back, we have said the exact same thing for every single final match of the season. Oh, it's an important summer, blah, 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 blah. But now, man, I mean, for the overhaul, the complete makeover that could potentially happen this summer. No Lukaku. Paulo Dybala, that family friend of his who he calls his agent, who is one of the most bizarre individuals I have ever come across, which is saying something in the world of football. Who knows what is going to happen with him? I would certainly think that it is far, far from a certainty that he returns. There is such a number from top to bottom of question marks all over the pitch. What can realistically be done in the summer by Gisolfi? How much can we expect him to be able to realistically change? Who can you buy? Who can go? Hey, if somebody comes and says for Svilar, hey, we'll give to you 40 to 50 million euros. Do you say goodbye? The questions are terrifying to me. This is a bit different than last summer. Yes, we were killed after that final. And we always sit here and say things need to change. You need to do this. You need to do that. I just think to myself, the potential starting 11 that can be on that pitch for the first match of the season for the 2024-2025 campaign. And I get very, very, very terrified, because the summer at least brings to you the illusion of hope, of being able to change things, of at least being able to hit the reset button. honestly, I would love to be at the point where I felt, even after losing the final to Lazio in the Coppa Italia, 2013, that summer where you know there's no Europe, one match per week, we kind of went into that knowing there's going to be an atom bomb set to the entire squad. This entire thing is going to change from top to bottom. Well, you are very limited in what you can change. You are extremely limited. I don't know how to truly feel going into the summer or what the actual expectation should be because, man, I have to tell you, these last 4 to 6 months really, really bring you back down to reality quick. I mean, that fun we felt some weeks ago, did all see, wow, look at this record after some games. Fucking hell did reality come back to bite us very quickly. So I have to tell you, I am terrified going into this summer.
But why are you terrified?
Because you are limited in what can be done.
Yeah, but you still
have limited in what they can do.
But that doesn't mean if you're limited, you know, it's always not. No, John, it's always the same story. It's not about how limited you are. It's how you use that those limited resources. To what extent do you use them? To what advantage? How do you build a team? I don't understand the amount of negativity that seems to be bubbling beneath the surface ahead of this summer. Because listen, if everybody's conclusion is the team is shit, then what's so bad about dismantling it? Because everybody seems to agree that the team is not working and that the fact that you are once again out of the Champions League depends on a lot of things, a lot of components not being right, not being good enough. Fine. You are faced with the prospect of certainly getting rid of at least 8 players between Spinazzola, between Rui Patricio, between Kvaratskhelia, Christensen, Diego Llorente, Renato Sanchez, and so on, between Sardar Azmoun, Lukaku. Okay, you got 8-9 players leaving. Fine. You know, what's the worst that can happen? What? Because at the end of the day, the reality of Italian football in general is changing. You're not going to be able to rely on growth decree. So you're going to find other methods. It's always like that. In hardship, a lot of the times, the most creative solutions are found in hardship. I'm a great fan of cinema. And being half Polish, I have a great passion for Polish cinema. Some of the best Polish cinema came out during the years of communism when there was censorship installed. And because during censorship, you still had to find a way to convey a message to your audience and not make it clear enough for the censor to pick it up and censor the movie. So a lot of movies during that time were really powerful stuff that appealed to audiences, but they did so in such a creative way that they still found a way to remain in history of cinema. That same philosophy of, okay, during hardship, with limited financial means, or with a squad that really needs tearing up, you are motivated to find ways to improve it. You don't have to. This summer, you don't have Daniele De Rossi going out of his way being like, I want Gini Wijnaldum. It's not going to happen because also the circumstances are different. Although Filippo Biafora, our good friend, said UEFA are going to be more lenient in certain things because Roma have been respecting the settlement agreement. They've done their fair share of generating the revenue that was supposed to be generated last year. So we find ourselves, okay, perhaps in a difficult situation where we still can't spend much money. But with Gisolfi coming in, clearly an experience with Lens leading them to a Champions League, to their first Champions League qualification in 20 years, with Nice leading them to the playoffs, with Daniele De Rossi, a young up-and-coming coach, you can't really be negative in the sense that you can't sit here and pretend like you know what's expected of this team because nobody knows. Because what Roma are going to do this summer is going to be completely different to what they might have done had Jose Mourinho still been here, had Thiago Pinto still been here. This is going to be a whole different Roma. I understand there's going to be a lot of work involved, It's going to be tough. There's going to be some difficult decisions to be made. But still, that's part of football. I am encouraged by what De Rossi has said when he said, when he referenced opponents like Bayer Leverkusen as a model, when he referenced Atalanta as a model. That has to be the thinking, because Roma have been thinking they're far too great for the last few years, and they have been anything but. And perhaps a little humility can go a long way at this point in time.
I don't think anybody is going to disagree with you on that. By the way, one of the things that has helped Roma in their position, for those who may not remember, Dan Friedkin, I think it was 1 or 2 years ago, joined the board of the ECA, the European Clubs Association, that has had, if you look at some of the clubs that are on there, it just helps. We'll keep it as simple as that, particularly when you look at who is at the very top of that board, a particular one, president from PSG, who, when it comes to the spending, definitely they are the ones who are all up on board when it comes to their financial prowess and spending habits. I understand what you are saying about the humility portion of it. There's no doubting. And the thing I have to reckon with and have difficulty reckoning with, particularly when you get some of the feedback from patrons when they're having a conniption about certain players being linked to the club. It is difficult, and I think everyone would admit this, knowing truly what the level is of this team. Going into the summer, though, just we will end it on this. Your level of optimism, your level of hope for the building blocks that are in place, the foundation, let's just say that, some of the foundational pieces, whether you consider that to be De Rossi, Svilar, Gisolfi, Gianluca Maggi, whoever you put in your mind into that category of being a foundational piece, a building block, whatever word you want to use, is there a strong foundation? Because I go back and forth as to whether that is in place or not, as to whether or not there are things that can be built upon that are structurally sound. If there is that, you get no consistency from this team ever. If there's one thing that is completely antithetical to understanding what your level is, it be inconsistent. Then you will just fool people from 1 week to the next, which I think Roma have done a fantastic job at doing. I don't know what their level is. I think most people would agree. I truly don't know what they can be, because I think lack of humility, lack of concentration at times. But going into the summer, we are just speaking of foundational pieces, things to build on, positive pieces that can contribute, and you know they can contribute without hesitation. How optimistic are you? Because I hesitate with that. I am not completely optimistic as far as, they have 5 to 7 pieces, 4 to 6, 3 to 5, whatever it may be. Are there the blocks there for you that at least give you some hope that, okay, not a splashy summer, how about a responsible summer? Then I think we can do something here.
Well, I mean, it's for me, I said it all along, and I have no trouble visualizing it. The foundational pieces are there, you know, whether you like it or not, whether we agree on if this team was good enough all along to qualify for Champions League football or not. The foundational pieces are there, because I think an investment like Tommaso Baldanzi does not happen in January. For a club like Roma, if it's not aimed at the long term. And that's something that I've heard from De Rossi far more than any other manager before, because I think that's sort of the modus operandi that now Roma are trying to imply for the rest of the management. I think it comes down from the top that we want to create something that is more lasting. Those are his words. We want something to create something that is more sustainable and more lasting. You didn't hear this stuff under Jose Mourinho. You didn't hear that from Paulo Fonseca. Those managers at the time, they were focused on the here and now. De Rossi in of itself, even that hire, him coming in, Baldanzi coming in at the same time, then Thiago Pinto leaving and Gisolfi coming in, from a different reality, from a different context, the context of up-and-coming teams, of teams that are not built in one day. They're not built overnight. It takes time. And I think there is this understanding going into the summer that it takes time. There are pieces here that I'm certain Roma will do anything to keep. Guys like Svr, Ndika, of course, Baldanzi, since you just bought him. Those are guys that clearly point to the club wanting to move in a different direction, in a direction that does not include players such as Chris Smalling in the long run, or Romelu Lukaku even. I don't think that is a player whom Roma want to count on beyond the expiry of his contract. And that's why there are so many questions regarding Paulo Dybala, because as good as he is that a player that you need for the kind of project that you want to create, and that for the kind of summer that you're going to have? And perhaps it's going to be a summer of building blocks. I think people don't have this. They love to say this, the foundation, the building blocks. But then when it comes to actually watching your team slowly make those steps, and perhaps sometimes, you know, stumble and perhaps not achieve overnight success, well, then it's problematic. But I think Roma right now, after 2.5 years of Jose Mourinho, they saw that it works, but to an extent. That management can only work so far with the type of team that you were building at the time, with the Renato Sanchez of the world, with the Gini Wijnaldums of the world, with this, with that, with Paulo Dybalas of the world. Okay, with that, you can only build a specific type of team. Now Roma clearly with a young technician, with De Rossi, who's 39, Florent Ghisolfi, who's also 39, you are aiming to go in a different direction. To me, that's pretty evident. And I think there is no point in being so negative, because, man, we've been through it. We've been through everything. So it's not like last year was champagne. Last year, there was just a bit of the hangover and frustration from Budapest, and still from Tirana as well, because we still had this illusion that, oh yeah, this team still has it. They still have what it takes to go on. And the truth was, they didn't. So if the team is bad, if we all agree right. that it's underwhelming, then what is so terrible about the prospect of tearing it apart and putting it back together with different pieces?
All right. Well, let us know what you think. Who knows? The opinion clearly divided on this. We will leave it there. As always, thank you so much for your support throughout the season. Obviously, the furthest thing from ideal or easy or even fun, the ups and downs, once again, are just a testament to the willingness of all of us to go through this year after year after year after year and know we are going to get our heart broken at the end of it, yet we choose to put ourselves through it and to watch every single weekend. So just the fact that we were able to be along with you for the ride, we appreciate it. Again, your support means everything. We're not going anywhere. We'll be back in a few days with another episode, but we just wanted to thank you immensely for your support. It means everything. So until next time, ciao.